Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, everybody. My name is Lawrence Drink, a.k.a. Sparky Lee, the founder and CEO of Legacy Programs Education Reentry. The whole point of me doing this is to bring awareness, educate each other. You know, anyone that's been affected by injustice, now fighting back. We do it through awareness and educating each other and resources for all. Most importantly, families that are still suffering the effects of injustices and surviving family members. As we all know, the family members are the biggest victims of anything that happens, regardless on what side of the spectrum. So, and it's time for change, positive changes, and I'm here to just speak on it and allow anyone to really just come in, rant, rave, scream, yell, whatever's on your mind. I really don't discriminate. I really don't care in what you want to say. Like, just speak it, you know. If I believe that we all give each other permission to speak, and when we do that, we encourage other people to speak up, and the voice, the ones with the voices give the voiceless their voice back. It's not being a voice for them, but just encouraging them that, you know, this is possible, and this is what we do for each other. So I had a couple guests on today that have not showed up yet. And I think I got, let's see, 916. Hold on. 916? So I've been having tech issues with the stuff. I have no idea how to operate all this technology stuff. So, but I do. So 916. Is that? Or 918, I'm sorry. Okay, apparently that's
I'm new to the show, so I'm just trying to figure out what the show's about.
Oh, okay. Well, what?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so the show is... Sorry, I got echo. So the show is pretty much just about bringing awareness and giving people their voice back. If people, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the world that it's just wrong. So what we try to do, we just give people the ability to speak on it. So you got any questions or is that?
No, I'm just listening. I just like to listen and see. I'll tune in if it's my interest, and I'll say something.
Okay. Well, today we were actually going to talk about CPS. I'm the pastor of Family Rights Organization. We just offer resources for the mothers, for the fathers, also for the children that go through it. So that was, I just got to see if my guests are on today. Oh, I guess people are busy. Okay. So today, the problem with the CPS stuff, yes, we know there's good and bad. There's good and bad in everything. There's good and bad in the cops, inmates, family members, friends, even stores. And, you know, though the system is broken and corrupt, there are some things that were supposed to be set in place for us so people were protected. Along the way, it's gotten kind of, the lines have been blurred, and everything's for profit these days. Everything's a business. And that's one of the things that especially pisses me off about the inmate population or in the Department of Corrections is that we put a price on somebody's face. You know, they are worth so much per year. And by doing that, we essentially take the humanity away from everybody that goes through some type of system. As a formerly incarcerated 20 years, today, you know, I am successful in running my own organization. I'm also a pastor. I am doing everything I can to make it better. But the problem is I'm still worth so much money. Being on parole, they get paid so much money for putting me through programs, for putting me through whatever they can. And that's why I do what I do today. 626? Hello? Okay. Well, everybody's unmuted here, so comment,
we're
questions,
here.
Whatever.
Yeah, bro. We're in them here.
Hey, brother. So,
hey.
And that's just the thing, you know, my biggest concern, I don't fight laws. I don't go to Capitol Hill. I don't sit there and I don't know law. I know a little bit, but not enough to fight it to fix what's broken. So I leave that up to the experts. My deal is I make sure when people come home that they stay home and they're successful and it's permanent. It's not one of those things where they're here for 6 months, for a year. I believe I have a formula that works. It's worked for me. As I said, I served 20 years in California state prisons since I was 18 years old. Just got out last year. And I believe that the support network, and this show has been a huge support network for me, Leona, New Vision Organization, that brought me in to allow me to be as I am today. Without the support network, we are going to fail. Without the support network, there's nobody to turn to, there's no additional resources, and there's no additional information. Without that, we can't go forward. And we all know that as a CBT expert, which is cognitive behavior therapy, we know that beliefs, manners, and habits fuel consequences. So if I have this belief that I'm not worthy or that I'm alienated, my mannerisms reflect that. I will isolate myself. I will disengage myself. I will sit there and pretty much just become a hermit crab. Later on, what happens is it turns into a habit. So where you don't know where this comes from, you don't know why you sit there and isolate yourself. You don't know why you alienate yourself, and you don't know why you disengage with people. Being aware of what you're thinking, why you're thinking it, and what you're doing is very important. So that's pretty much my job in a nutshell. Is we offer a mentor program. We offer curriculum to go back into the system to give these men and women a possibility of reintegrating back out here so they have that support network before they even hit the streets. So I think it's really important, especially being on parole. As everybody knows, I got fired from one of my jobs because somebody disrespected me, called me out my name, and the minute that I flare up and I respond, I end up getting fired because we don't understand a middle. It's extreme or nothing. You push me to that edge, I'm taking that jump. And so that's something I have to get under control and something I have to address. But the problem with that is that normal people could do and say whatever they want. You know, it's a simple citation. It's a simple, you know, the cops go there, whatever, you know, but as a parolee, you know, we have issues out here where people hold that over our heads, and it's kind of like being held hostage. You know, they know I can't respond appropriately. So they, many times when I talk about those beliefs, manners, and habits, what happens is that they are feeling good about themselves and they're above people. And so they take that opportunity. And they know who they can get away with. Those people are predators. They're just bullies and predators, and you know, run your mouth. And then when you respond, they want to call the cops or they want to remove you for their safety, which they kind of invited the response.
You have to also take into consideration and understand, for the people's sake, that don't really know is that you served 20 years, yes. You know, to paint a canvas of that situation, you also have to take into consideration and looking at the variables of that's, you know, yeah, they acted in a sporadic way, but the way your mannerism was after 20 years, you didn't take that jump. You didn't take the initiative of hurting somebody. You may have thought, you know, and you may have rampaged in your head and wanting to retaliate and do something, you know, viral, but understand that everybody does that. Everybody gets feelings. Everybody has thoughts. But you didn't act on it. You controlled yourself in a mannerism that basically shows that you are a changed person. You are a human being with feelings, and you didn't act on it. You may have portrayed that you wanted to do something. Yeah, everybody does that. But the point I'm making is you made a positive decision in not falling out to hurt this person. You understand? You made a conscientious decision of not hurting this person. And in 20 years, that's all you did. That's all you did was act on first instinct. Boom. Like you said, I'm going to jump on it. I'm going to jump on it. I'm going to jump on it. That's all you knew. That's all you were taught. Now, you de-escalated yourself in that situation is what I'm saying. And you did something that is unspeakable that is actually a good thing. So you should hold your head up high that you got fired. And nobody, you know what? Jobs come and go, right?
Well, and that's just the thing. You know, I am working today. You know, I got a new job. It's a night shift at the – I'm a baker, of course, but – you know, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on with, you know, with just, I was sitting there thinking last night, you know, being an adult sucks. Yeah. It really does. I mean, that's the worst feeling. Cause so I'm working this one job. I got another job offer. I'm debating on going back and forth. Like if I'm going to even bounce or if I just try to pursue a management position, I don't know yet. So, but hold on 1 second. This might be my guess. We have a 989. Is that Richie? Okay.
Hello?
So everybody. Hello?
This is you and me, Lawrence.
So just so everyone knows, everyone is unmuted. You can comment, speak freely, ask your questions, whatever. It don't matter. If you want to rant, rave, complain, cuss somebody out, go ahead. Please do. There's a thing called freedom of speech. So, but no, that's just the thing. I was sitting there thinking last night, being an adult sucks. This is just garbage. It's one thing after another. And you know what's crazy is that everything's $100. If I want to go get my oil change, $100. If I need something, it's always $100. And if it's not $100, it's $100. It's $100 minimum. And then it just goes up in $100 increments. But as a formerly incarcerated, I come out of 20 years to a new world. We have these smartphones now. As everyone knows, 20 years ago, we did not have, you know, the smallest phone was the size of a brick. We had PlayStation 1. We didn't even have the internet. It was, what was it, Call Up or something like that, or American Online, AOL.
Yeah, they had discs that would come in, and it was dial-up.
Yeah, dial-up. So, you know, I come home, and it's a whole new world. And let me just be frank, and this is nothing against anybody that's listening, but people suck. Straight up, people suck out here. Most of the people I encounter are garbage individuals. It's just you find the ones in between that are actually decent human beings, but there's such, and then when the COVID hit, it was just, because I got released during the COVID, but it was just more disconnected than it ever was before. You know, you know, you got families sitting there texting each other from different rooms. You got, you have a website for everything and a link, and there's so many scams on the internet that it's ridiculous that, you know, somebody, it's funny because somebody asked this morning, they said, hey, can you help out? I need a little money. The first thing me and my wife were thinking was that this is a scam. You know, like, so we have to contact that person and say, hey, you've been hacked. So that's what the world's coming to. It's pretty much garbage. They're giving away too much free money, so nobody wants to work, which is great for me because apparently I can't keep a job, but I can get a job. So that's one of the things, finding your niche. But just so you all know that, you know, when you get frustrated and you're feeling that like the whole weight of the world, it is, in fact, the whole weight of the world because people suck. And we just continue taking that high road and being, you know, doing what we do and try not to conflict ourselves too much and to where we compromise our own moral principles and ethics, which, you know, all my moral principles are from prison, you know, respect. You know, you don't call anybody out their name. You sit there and you're very courteous. You're very mindful and aware of other people around you and what's going on in their life because that is your life. So that's just one thing that I've been experiencing. Just with working, you know, I work in a pretty size, a decent sized bakery, and, you know, there's different personalities. So how do you deal with different personalities? It's just one of those things that at the end of the day, I'm responsible for my actions and I'm responsible for my side of the street, and what that person does is entirely up to them. But you know, people just don't carry the same, the same morals or principles as you, and yours might be different than mine, but if you know, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to and you're being courteous and generous and doing what you can for other people, I think that imitates, you know, a godlike behavior, and it's just really missing out here.
Well, you know, to reiterate, like you said, that, but people suck because, okay, no matter what you do positively, you know, I remember in my situation of growing up that, you know, no matter what you do positively, the outcome, it doesn't matter. Because you can't lead a horse to water and make him drink, right? So you, even though you're kind, you're courteous, you're respectful towards somebody, you don't know their demeanor. You don't know how they're going to turn around and greet you or treat you and come back, and you're thinking they're going to say, oh, thank you, you know, I'd like to do this for you, be kind. It's not always the circumstances. It's not always the situation, right? So people do suck. Their mannerism sucks because you're pouring yourself out and being courteous and being respectful and being nice and showing them, you know, the way you want to be treated, but doesn't mean that person's going to treat you the same way that you treated them. Or for the things that you think about that person is not how they see you. Just because they're courteous to you doesn't mean they like you necessarily, right? So, yeah, people do suck. It's the teachings, their upbringing, how you were brought up. And, you know, it's unfortunate that basically you served like the military. You served according to what was given to you, what was shown to you, and what you had access to. You think people think, I mean, realistically, you didn't have access to fight your case. You didn't have access, you know, to certain things. You only had access to what they allowed you to have access to what they let you see, to what they let you go to what they allowed you to become. No matter where you were between those walls, you were still treated with disrespect.
Yeah.
And people do suck. The system, it's not necessarily people that suck. It's the fucking system. The system is terrible. You know, you go to the doctor, for instance, you go to the doctor. I've been fighting, you know, diabetes for over 20 years. I'm 36 now, but I've been fighting diabetes for so long. And, you know, unfortunately, the doctors aren't treating the root cause of diabetes. They don't even seem to give a shit. Let's be honest. 20 years of going to the doctors, right? I'm just giving an example real quick that it's the system. It's not people. I have to stand corrected. Some people do suck, right? Some people do, bro. But unfortunately, it's the system. And
I'll go with most.
Right. Majority. I get it. But the thing I'm getting at is the doctors don't treat the diabetes. They say, okay, you know, they know what the issue is. They know what's going on. It's the beta cells in the body. You're basically, you have a protein that's in your body that it gets accumulated, that grows, and you can't stop that protein. That protein is a – bro, what are you doing?
No, that's not me. That was somebody else. Sorry.
Whoever that is, they're just making so much noise. But, you know, there's a protein that's in the body, right? And they say proteins are good for you. This protein is not good for you. This protein gets developed in the human body, and it accumulates. And it wants to be fed. It wants to get fed junk food. It wants to get fed fatty foods. It wants to get fed all these things that are not good for you. The point making is, there's a system out there that's not, look, it's not for us. We're not meant to be mind controlled or, you know, we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to love ourselves and love each other. But how can you do that in a mannerism when you're grown up with a system and you're taught to form a line in such a way where you have to act a certain way. You have to talk a certain way. You have to dress a certain way. You know, most people, their shoes, you walk through a mall and the people that are shining the shoes at those little shoe huts, they're looking at people's shoes, because if you got name brand shoes, Nike, Reebok, or some, you know, high and classified shoes, they're going to do your needs. But if you don't got those, you don't have those shoes, you have off-brand shoes, they're not going to pay any attention to you. They're not going to look at you. Check it out sometime when you guys go out to the mall or you guys go out, you know, shopping.
Hey,
you get
Brother, can I jump in here real quick? This gentleman
hell yes,
that's talking,
man. I'm so glad to hear you.
This is Chinupa. This is Chinupa. Young man, what is your name? This is Chinupa Gluham Money from the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation here in South Dakota.
Yeah, I always listen to you. I'm Lawrence's younger brother. I'm actually Tommy, not Tom. But
okay,
yeah.
Okay, let me give you a whole retrospective on what you're talking about. Okay, in somewhat, I'm going to agree with that. In somewhat, not all, and I'm going to tell you why. And don't get offended. How much time do we got left?
About an hour.
Right.
Go
okay,
for it.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say to you. Hokshila ehani lakhota woyik shankile ehani yuhapi. Chamila haska kilena tima hiupi nataku lena ehani oyate mitok yuhapi. Wamak haska tchahaki hena unkupi. Holila owaste taku kash lena unkakab. That sala ki na jib na etaha wa kasma ka ki chi mane to na unti ma ka ki no ki wo yik che na wi chak ko ki. Now I'm gonna turn it into an etch a sketch and shake it back up and clear it back up, okay? Okay.
All right.
So here you are talking about new shoes and people looking down at other people with some shoes that are barely affordable. I grew up in that. I grew up into a $3 pair of shoes that was a rubber sole and a foam padding, and they were striped. Some were blue, some were red, and some were black, and the other ones were a peach color. These were, and they called them, you know, track shoes back then. That was all we could afford because they were canvas. And the same with the Converse shoes that were rubber. They called them Bobos back then in my time when I was growing up. But they were all canvas. And when your body perspired, your sweat went into that rubber, and they fumigated them, and they made your feet stink, okay? This is American stuff. Now, traditionally, what I said in the language, our people had moccasins. The moccasin was air conditioned because it was laced from the buffalo sinew from the hide, and they had a natural airflow so we could run. We were the best, greatest runners in modern and ancient history, the indigenous people, and many other people of color across the waters. The African people were that way. They were running barefooted. So here we are in the late 21st century going into the 22nd century, but in the new millennium of 2021. Now, Christ himself wore a sandal, and you all know that because a lot of them are still wearing sandals over there where they came from. Okay? So the part that a lot of people can't see is that their feet perspired too, and they had to have a unique mechanism to keep their feet from, you know, creating a body odor. But see, the sandal, on the other hand, kept them fresh, but they always watered down. Every day they took a shower, bath, whatever you want to call it. Showers was not municipal and invented until, you know, a lot of the people start implementing different changes in the way they lived in the survival mechanism. My point that I'm raising is, if we keep acknowledging the fault of the human body, like brother was mentioning earlier, your body is a healthy and a natural defense of a mechanism that can combat any type of disease and all the stuff that Americans throw into certain carbohydrates, diglycerides, and all that from potato chips, cereals, pop, donuts, you name it. Even, you know, the experimental testing on livestock, hamburgers, steak, and all that. They're all laced with something, okay?
All the crap.
That laced with something. All that stuff is unhealthy. But here's the catch. Had they left indigenous people alone and many other people that understood nature. Nature is a healthy, balanced, you know, way of living off her through the great mystery, providing all these fresh and natural and nutrient, you know, food and dietary and staple diets that kept your body healthy. Remember, in the Bible days, it said that Moses lived to be 300 and something years old. In our culture, indigenous culture, we were living clear up to 147 years old. So when the colonists got here, now we're dying off at the age of 98 and lesser. And the adolescent years is killing you off because we're either laced with certain type of intoxicants, and it's a new breed of a neugenic, you know, system that's empowering the body not to reproduce its natural defense because of drugs and alcohol. And all that craving for corn syrup, not natural sugars, which you can get from berries and fruits off the land and so forth, and vegetables. My point that I'm raising is understanding. We need to really look at how ancient civilizations lived before the colonists got here and start raping that stuff over and over, because any ingredient made with whatever you like to eat is raped. The reason why I use that term rape, they mix it with different ingredients. That's why they make it taste good. So they rape the ingredients. You get what I'm saying? Vice versa. And I know that might sound kind of heinous, but I take responsibility of my actions and words if I'm dispersing them that way, and I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just giving
not
you a point
all.
To understand, like a jigsaw puzzle. You have to take the time to – a jigsaw is more better than a regular puzzle itself. And then you know exactly what pieces really go in what place. The reality that we don't get back into it, had the Caucasian race left the indigenous people alone, we'd still be healthy. We wouldn't be dying of cancer. We sure in the hell wouldn't be dying of diabetes. We won't be dying
of
heart
to that.
All of this stuff,
yeah.
See? But the white man wanted to continue to deal with reducing people. Now they got you all codependent on Del Monte's and Burger King and McDonald's and, you know, all of these franchises that all soybean now, processed, okay?
Even painkillers.
See, that's the problem. That's the way Americans love it. What's feeding America, listening audience, is every 18-wheeler that goes by, that goes north, south, east, and west, and returning the same cycle. That's what's feeding America. So you're all in
Absolutely.
It. The only ones that are eating healthy are the rich, and you can take that to the bank. The rich people are the only ones that can afford healthy diets. And you know that. So I'm going to wheel it back to you as we get on. Cause thank you for allowing me to come back on, and glad to meet you, a little brother, Lord. It was an honor to meet him. Remember, like I said,
Absolutely.
I take full responsibility of my words and actions. Didn't mean to offend anybody.
I'll be in contact with you soon. Don't worry, buddy.
Yeah,
thank you.
I've been meaning to get on your show, but they got me on Graveyard right now. And it's dude, my hours are so screwed up, but I will be on, I promise.
Yeah, that's good. So I'm going to listen to, and if I have to ask the 10 questions, I will get involved if you don't mind.
Absolutely. So everybody's unmuted. I have my special guest today. His name is, I believe, Richie. 213, you're on, right?
Hello.
Hello, and it is such a pleasure to have you on today. I'm going to let you introduce yourself because I don't think I could do you any justice. So go take it away.
Wow, this is kind of spur of the moment. I just got a message from Apple a few minutes ago asking me to call in, and I'm not familiar with your show. I'm sorry. Yeah, I definitely wanted to give a call in. My name is Richie Albertini, and I am from Los Angeles. I was pretty much raised here. I don't know if you had an opportunity to take a listen to that recording that
I did.
I released.
Oh, so that's you.
That's me on that recording talking to –
Oh, that is a very disturbing recording.
It's a very disturbing recording, and as a result of that recording, we're pretty much getting national attention right now. We've been doing some interviews. I'm calling you. We're spreading the word. I've just been a little disorganized this morning because obviously when you do this kind of thing, you're going to get targeted by trolls. And what I come to find out this morning is all my social media accounts were shut down because there's a very specific group of trolls that just keep reporting everything we're saying.
So was Apple's.
What's that?
Apple's was too.
Oh, yeah. We're constantly going to be being attacked. And it's because there are people who get paid to do this kind of thing. You know, we know exactly who they are. They identify themselves. They spread malicious rumors about me. You know, my life is an open book. You heard me on that recording. There's no secrets in my background. I'm very upfront. You know, I've got quite the past. But because of my past is what put me in contact with these people so that I would get to know so much about them. And everything on that recording is real. The most interesting point that I like to make all the time is that man, you heard me repeatedly tell him he's a mandated reporter. He's obviously a mandated reporter. He works for Gavin Newsom. He also said he was Department of Children and Protective Services. That recording was made the end of July. We're now into December, and there's been absolutely no follow-up. Now, even if I was a crazy person, those were some pretty big accusations I was making. Somebody should have followed up.
Hey, can you give the audience a little history on the recording? Like just a brief summation and because I
I'll give you
a brief summary. Okay, you were hired by Pelosi, weren't you, to discredit somebody?
Yes, okay. Apple thing. What happened was we were running an underground kind of, it was what you would call a pirate collection agency. We had no licenses. It was 100% illegal. And what we did was we did collections in shady situations. So the guy I was working with, his name is Greg. He's the one that had the contact with them. He's the one, I don't know if he knew them. I don't know how he came into contact with them. But they assigned us a debt. It was a ridiculously big debt. And they wanted us to go. It wasn't about collecting the debt. It was about driving this woman who owed this money or allegedly owed this money. It was about driving her insane. They were manipulating her, and they were causing all kinds of harm to her because they were after a valuable piece of property that I don't remember if it was she that owned it or her father that owned it. So I was given this file. I was told at the time that she was an escort. I was given a lot of bad information about her. And I contacted her to talk about this debt. The idea was I was going to scare the hell out of her. I probably did scare the hell out of her when I first contacted her. But I don't know. Something made me listen to her. And back at that time, I didn't know who the Pelosis were. I didn't know that they wielded any kind of power. I knew nothing about them. What Apple told me was just very, very shocking to me. It was the first time I ever heard a story like that. And quite frankly, when Apple told me that story, I thought she was crazy. And I went back and I said, look, I'm not getting involved in this. This is stupid. What are we going to harass that girl for? She's got nothing. She appears to be out of her mind. I think she needs help. I am not going to be involved in this. At that point, I got back in touch with Apple, and I told her, look, don't even worry about it. Just ignore all this. And I'm not pursuing you. I don't know if they're going to give this to somebody else to pursue, but I'm out. Apple and I even became friends after that time. We spoke to each other a bunch of times on the telephone. She had some websites. I was in that industry at one time, so we were talking about her websites and whatnot. And, you know, I just stored that away for many, many years. This was just a thing that happened. It was water under the bridge until recently when it came up again. And I confronted the state of California. And, you know, there's so many nuances to that recording. You know, when I first spoke to that man and I mentioned Apple's name, he said he never heard of her. But then another minute into the recording, he knew the whole story. Apple's been set up by these people. It's obvious. Mm-hmm.
And just so everyone knows, like we're talking about this person, Apple. So she was married to Paul Pelosi.
And that's correct. I believe so. Yes.
Yes, and he took her children from her. And is continuously taking her children from her. And there's actually a crazy story about that. Like wasn't it the picture with Biden? Didn't one of the daughters take a picture of Biden or something like that?
I don't know. That would be an Apple question because, like I said, I haven't caught up with her on what's happened over the last 15 years. I purposely try to stay away from Apple because I want to make sure her information remains intact, my information, my testimony remains intact. I've only spoken to her twice since it happened, and it was last week. So I don't know all the details and all the particulars. I know
the hell of a battle.
So. Yeah, it's really bad. And, you know, this woman, I didn't even know that she had more kids. And I just found out a couple of days ago that she has another child, that an infant, I guess, that they have in their custody, BCFS or the foster care system. I don't know. It's just a mess. Apple has been through the ringer. You know, she's one portion of what's on that recording. And, but it's very important that, you know, our slogan around here is make Apple a mother again. Apple needs her kids back. Pelosi needs to be held accountable. Newsom, everybody on that recording needs to be held accountable. Everybody yeah. from the Pelosi's to Corey Feldman to everybody else's name was on that tape. Alec Baldwin, that's another interesting fact. That recording was made 4.5 months ago before he shot this person. And you hear I go into details about the ritual sacrifice that night and the body we were supposed to deliver to Alec Baldwin. Bullet hole in the center of the forehead.
Wow.
I knew that would be a jaw dropper. Listen,
yeah,
I was not expecting this interview. Is it possible we could talk again? I could come on your show anytime you'd like to have me.
Yeah.
I would even. Okay, perfect. Let's stay in touch. It's Sunday and I did the church thing and everything and I got some other things to do today. Can I give out my phone number on your show?
Absolutely. Please do.
Okay. I do take phone calls. Please don't be calling to troll me because I will block you. You know, I don't take too well to threats. But if you're seriously interested, if you're from another source of media, if you're from law enforcement, any kind of investigative agency, you can call me at area code 213-302-9688. That's 213-302-9688. I'm also represented by David Bigney Esquire out of Orlando, Florida. I don't have his phone number here in front of me, but if anybody needs to contact him, they could just Google him.
Nice. Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
Yeah, you're
we'll talk just, soon.
Yes, sir. I will definitely keep in contact with you. You have a beautiful and blessed day.
You too. God bless you.
All right, thank you so much. So that's just some of the stuff that – so we – as everybody knows, I'm the pastor of Family Rights Organization. I deal with a lot of families that lose their children to the government and stuff like that. And it's really you know, it's crazy. I think a couple weeks ago I was talking about the conspiracy theory, you know, and how the government has dubbed that to discredit people. And I've heard so much stuff, and this is stuff that I've Googled myself, and I'm like, there's no way. And it's absolutely true. So, I mean, just because it's something far-fetched and it's out of our realm does not mean it's not happening. I mean, this is real life. And within this life, there's many other lives that are being lived under the same dome. And many of them are being hidden. And the government is what's doing that. The government is hiding their malicious acts. They're hiding their racism, they're hiding their the discrimination against people, against race, against every type of, you know, anything that you can think of, they're doing that. And then they're living their little fat lives and enjoying life and eating healthy, as the brother was saying, and, you know, having people clean their own home. So, yeah, just when you hear something, nothing really surprises me. I mean, drop my jaw, but at the same time, nothing surprises me of what's going on today. There's a huge child trafficking thing going on between San Diego right now when it's funny how the government sits there, not funny, but it's ridiculous how the government paints a face to a crime when they're the ones committing the crime the whole time. And they think because they put on a suit and tie that, you know, or this face and go into public that they're not being suspect. And let me tell you right now that some of the biggest pedophiles are in our government. It's they got some underground stuff going on. And it's just so you know, when you hear this stuff, there's history does repeat itself. And the stuff that was happening, you know, 100, 200 years ago is happening today, just in a different fashion. We are still being discriminated against. We are still being isolated. We're still being pitted against each other. And they form this stuff. They want this. They want the attention off of them so they can continue to live their lives. There's not one person in politics that isn't rich. You know, there's a reason for that. They get gas cards. They get food cards. They get free. Everything's free to them because people want to kiss their ass. Instead of the small businesses and the people standing up and saying, hey, screw you, they continue to still kiss their ass. So any comments or questions after that? Yes.
You ever watch The Simpsons? Anybody ever watch The Simpsons where they had an episode and supposedly the Simpsons is based on, you know, history majorly and, you know, all the timeline events of what's going on in our society, a world where, you know, we're controlled, we're in a systematic dome where everything is controlled, everything, you know, from the North Pole to the South Pole, you know, longitude, latitude, all the, you know, we are, you know, fixated and controlled in a mannerism where, you know, on The Simpsons where they showed
Trump getting president like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm telling you, the Simpsons, people could say whatever they want, but The Simpsons have predicted just as much as Machiavelli.
Right.
So you just got to watch their episodes. It's like a code. I don't know. I never was a Simpson fan. I was more of a Futurama person, but they it's the same. It's, no, they, you're absolutely right.
So let me jump in here, Lawrence. I've listened to the brother.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. You know, I'm listening to you guys talk about cartoons, okay? I'm listening to, you know, The Simpsons and all that, you know. Look, folks, you can believe in what you want, and that's your prerogative. I believe in the great mystery, and he's not a cartoon. He's alive and well. And when you need him, when you're facing, man, the dilemma that you can't get out of, you are going to call to him. You won't call to Homer Simpson. I could tell you that right now. You won't tell Homer or all the rest of them to come save you. This gentleman that came on the show here and was talking about, you know, when you ascertained a good question about the Pelosi family and Pelosi itself, and all of a sudden, he took off on the right side of things. Then he put all the aspirations of what you were putting together to aim it at him. He told you he didn't want to take no calls. And at the same time, he told you to take it up with his attorney, Esquire, like I told you guys before in the show, Esquire here down in Florida. Lawrence, be careful, little brother. That's all I'm going to tell you. Because I've been in these predicaments all my life, man, 64 years old. I know how the system works. We're all being monitored day in and day out. You know it and I know it, and that's just the name of the game. Well, one of the key constituents to it is that we all talk too much. We all talk too much. And that talking is not talking about what really is the necessary invoking measure that holds them accountable, okay? So let's take a look at the county. Let's take a look at the reservation. Let's take a look at the state. And let's take another look at the federal government. What's missing out of the four? What's really missing out of those four entities? What's missing, people?
The people.
Lawrence, you have an answer?
The people. Us.
That's where you're wrong again.
God.
Okay.
What's missing?
I think my brother just got it.
What did he get?
Jesus is missing from the equation.
I just said it. People are like, what the hell? I just said
it. Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Okay. I said, you can believe in Homer Simpson if you want to. I'm going to believe in the great mystery because he works. See, that's where people got away from that. You have these counties. Isn't Babylon the similar replica of a state, county, Huh? City, reservation, so forth? You feel what I'm saying? You have to see the different mindset in that. That's why Babylon fell, right? Because the great mystery did this. See, civilized and modern man forget one thing. You use the great mystery in a term of acknowledgement when you don't live him. And I said this on numerous shows of certain shows that I was brought on. If that man came knocking at your door, and he did knock on it like this to your house, and you opened the door, and he's standing there, and he sticks his hand out to you and says, come to me, my son, my child. And he puts this little understanding before you. Okay, my child, my son, what have you done that supports me? What you say today in the words of what you're expressing out there, I can't feel it. What have you done to serve me and mine? What would your answer be? You see, that will happen. And most of the time it happens when you're on your deathbed because you want people to forgive you for all the shit and crap you've done in the name of God and otherwise. You see, this is what we're talking about. So today, America put what? In God we trust on mammon, right or wrong?
Right.
Right.
100% correct.
Okay. So when America stamped mammon, you know, with in God we trust, now you're all convinced that it's a sin to steal money. Americans have been stealing since the day one, man.
We stole from ourselves.
All of them steal it. All of everyone, every country. You see, the heroic part of what people don't see is that the great mystery never stole from you. Neither did Mother Earth. Neither did the animals. You see what I'm saying? You have possession, they won't take it. That's the problem with people in society today. So here we are blaming things. I could trust nobody in those governments. None at all, because my grandpa raised me different. I was raised a bastard. The white race, ranchers, white children of ranchers, they killed my dad. And I was at the age of 8 years old when I found my daddy's body badly bloated and decomposed. I found my father. And that's the hard part to live with. But I understand, because my grandfather told me, something's going to have to be told to you why they killed your daddy. And sure enough, my daddy was standing up for poor people that were getting less wages than his wages. And he didn't agree with that. So he would take the ranchers into the barn and beat the crap out of them and make them give equal pay to the other ranch hands that worked with him. You see, this is how the system works, even in ranch, you know, and handy, working on ranch and outside. This is how people get ahead. When you look at mammon, the rich people are sitting there healthy, unsickly. A young lady said to me today, she said, you know, JFK is still alive. Okay? That's your prerogative. That's what you believe. And she said, I believe in Trump. Okay, you believe in Trump. I can't stand where Biden's taken. Okay, well, that's you. This is you. I'm not disputing that. But you show me, Angela, you show me where you can get on a radio show and talk all this talk. I don't want to listen to it, because we're in a realm that's creating a renaissance that we're failing ourselves rather than helping ourselves. Right or wrong, people? That's right. And all information we share, because the whole world's hungry for information. But what are we to do with it when you do obtain it, when you do receive it? Look, my little brother, Lawrence, and I'm going to call you that, and I mean that, Lawrence. I don't ever take it back. My little brother, Lawrence, is a minister. He's a pastor. If he's self-taught and he obtained that, that's his prerogative. That's him. So So I got to respect and honor my little brother for taking that faith on after being incarcerated. So he found a way to find balance to promote it so strong so he can get back outside and start fighting the unseen insanitary measures that he saw and lived in the same way I did it. But I do it from a human rights perspective. That's my belief, and I'm going to stay there till the day I leave and return back to Grandmother Earth, and my spirit heads home to the happy hunting ground with the Star Nation.
But
the point that
Can I interrupt that for a minute on a question?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
No matter what we say, no matter what we do, we are still dictated in doing, you know, we're still wrong. We're still wrong as human beings. Like, no matter how we portrayed this, of, you know, I agree 1,000% of what you're saying. However, it's like we're computerized. We just go with what we see, what we do. You know, monkey see, monkey do. We don't even take for a second to even try to reiterate anything that's being portrayed. We just follow in suit and say, okay.
Some of us.
So
do. I don't.
Well, since you interrupted me, I'm going to interrupt you real quick, okay? I'm going to disagree with that. First of all, everyone that's in my country of Turtle Island, we're all escaping from captivity. That's why they released those prisons over there and they all came here. Now, I will say this piece because look it up. Eddie Van Halen and his family came over here with $50. And this has become a well-known greatest guitar player in modern history, Eddie Van Halen. And there might be some other great ones, okay? But here's a self-taught guitar player. His brother Alex was supposed to play the guitar and he was supposed to play the drums. But the two brothers switched them instruments because their dad was a musician. And these brothers were across the water, and their dad taught them musicianship. That musicianship played in their lives, okay? And so on this little documentary that they were interviewing Eddie, they asked Eddie, who was the most big bullies of racial disparity? And he, you know what he said? The white race, his own people. You see, this is what we, just like you said there, you know, where that's a derogatory sense of, you know, acknowledging that. Well, I disagree. If a rock guitar player, people didn't like him. Aerosmith's guitar player, Joe Perry, didn't like him, bumped him, and I saw that too. I saw that in physical form. I saw that. I was like, hey, punk, man, watch where you're going. And I was a kid. I was 21 years old, youngster. I said that to Joe Perry, and they walked out by me, man. I said, man, and Van Halen finished their show, and that was when they had their third album called Women and Children First. And the song I like of it, because he had some serious guitar work, was that, Hit the Cradle, We'll Rock. Man, that sucker was bad, right? But the way he played the guitar. So they didn't like that feeling of what he did. Now, the reason why I say that, we, as the two-legged people, we are constantly being driven into denial, okay? And you know that, folks. It's like a speed stick. You remember that little twisting knob on the bottom to push that speed stick gel up and down? To wipe it on your body because, you know, you perspire, and then your underarms might smell bad because they're hairy and so forth, okay? Well, this is why I call it a speed stick. America is filthy. It stinks, and we're all in it. We smell bad, too. But the hard part is learning from that. Now, I've said this to my little brother Lawrence in the past radio shows. My grandfather said this, and I love my grandpa, and I miss him bad because he was my dad. When you remove a people from the forest, the people of the forest become unknown. And what becomes unknown, you want to destroy. Well, now, since everybody was removed from their different countries and brought over to my country, this is what's happening today. And I urge everyone to step back up, and watch it happen to themselves. They're going to do it to themselves. But our people keep ingraining it. Like I said earlier, that lady said, I believe in Trump. I believe, okay, you can believe in whoever you want, but I believe in the great mystery. And you can't take that from me because that's the path I follow. It's a tough path, but it's the most honorable one because he's there with me every second right now as I'm talking to you. Guess what? There's a bird sitting on the light pole out here looking in the window.
So you're saying that you got to step back and let stuff happen.
Yeah. You worry about here's how I'm going to say it to you. If you step back and don't participate in this destruction that's happened, I got to worry about who's going to try to harm Lawrence. I don't want no harm happening to Lawrence. I just met him. I don't even know what he looks like. I never gave him a hug and said, brother, thank you for using your show to express what's missing.
Well, he's damn ugly, so I'm better looking.
So it doesn't matter if he's ugly or not. He's still my little brother. So my point that I'm raising here is I have to look at him now because that gentleman that said you got to call that guy down there, the Esquire guy in Florida, puts me with a little pin on a pin cushion. I got to find a new place to stick that. I don't like that kind of talk. Because if my little brother Lawrence get caught up in that and some harm comes, okay, now, hey, I'm trying to protect what we're doing here. We have the messages. We have the wording. Look, it's called freedom of independence. And if you can't lust for those two, why are you talking? That's the hard part.
That's right.
See? And that's what Great Mystery gave you. God, Allah, Buddha, whatever you call
it.
Amen. Okay?
Amen, amen.
See? God, man, you guys, please back up. Please. And it's not a hard thing to do because the wrath of the Great Mystery is upon these people. This is why, look, it all started when they forced George Floyd. Our brother, our late brother, George Floyd, when that cop had his knee pressed on George's neck and George's hands were handcuffed behind his back and he can't breathe, and he yelled, Mama, and he was gone. When you force a man like that, white man, to call out for his mother and his mother can't be there, all the people of color's women should be in an uproar. They should be in an uproar because you forced a child. That was somebody's child. That was somebody's grandson. That was somebody's nephew. That was somebody's brother. My God, you guys. That's the problem. And you know damn well that white man will do it to you. That's why it kind of put me on that pin cushion. Here, I'm going to take this pin and stick it right here. And that's who I'm going to label this guy as because... He said, okay, he wanted to cut it short. And you asked him a question, and he didn't want to answer it. And I'll leave it at that because I don't want harm to happen to Lawrence because Lawrence is a bright young man trying to do something to get the message out. And again, I take full responsibility of my actions and my words if they offended anybody. That's not the case. But if not, I'm going to will it back to you because I stand on the Great Mystery's path that he paved for me. And I'm still on it. I can't get off. And back
well,
to
they
you,
can
little
take
little
that
Lawrence.
To the bank, right?
Hey, this is Rachel. Can I say something?
Absolutely.
Blue Jays up Snoopy. Next to you.
Hello?
Go ahead, Rachel. Sorry.
Just right about that. Step back. Don't get involved in all that. Because right now, the government and the people out here are all driving each other mental. And it's their demise. They're all going crazy. Let them do themselves in. Like I said, don't piss on crazy's parade. Let it happen. It needs to happen. All we need to do is sit back and watch and laugh at them. Don't engage with those people because they will drive you crazy too. That's what the government wants, is everybody out here going mental.
You can't piss on a fire and expect to put it out. Let it burn.
That's right. So let crazy, all the crazies out here, JFK's still alive, okay. I believe Trump, okay. You're all fucking crazy. I'm going to sit back. Send me some parade candy, please. I'm not going to piss on the parade. Let them go.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing about letting people. I have no – okay, so when I tell you guys this, that I have – I'm not judgmental. I am not judgmental. I respect what everybody says, and I listen to what everybody says because it's kind of what I do. I love additional information. I love learning, and I love – I just don't adopt. You know, I really have to believe what you're – like, you have to – like the brothers, when he gets on here and he sits there and he breaks it down like history, you got to be able to invest in that. Like that's – it's in your face. You can't deny that. But like people's opinions, I listen to them. I respect them. I just don't adopt any of it. So – and that's one of those things that makes me who I am today and giving people the opportunity because I know there's healing in speaking on this. I know that the healing – is being able to sit there and say, I'm pissed off and not to feel judged and that this is wrong and not to feel judged and not to feel that somebody, you know, is you know, we're being monitored. Like the brother said last week or 2 weeks ago, he mentioned it and a number pops up. So all your guys' numbers pop up on here. I could mute you, unmute you, whatever. Please tell me a one area code 111. What area code is that? But that gets even better. It's 111111111. What number?
Hey, is that
that
Joe
number.
Guy?
Yes, Joe.
I don't know
that's
who
Joe
that
again, Rachel.
It's
Joe.
It's
obviously
like,
somebody
him.
Who doesn't
fuck
want
him.
To
he's
put
nothing.
Themselves.
Fuck him. He's nothing. He's a radio show hopper.
But I just love how the brother predicts his stuff, and so like when he does stuff like this. As he says, the great mystery will reveal stuff to us in life. And when we take that step back, see, what y'all don't understand, I don't want you to understand it, is that in prison, that's all we did was step back. That's all we did was observe. The reason why I could read people and I could sit there and I have this insight is because I've been trained how to just watch people, how to watch the chaos go around me and not invest myself because I have my – I'm trying to go home. I'm trying to sit here and do this. So I see some dummy go up and start a riot. That's not the way it's done. So I sit back and I just watch this dummy do it. And that's when the brother's sitting there talking about taking that step back. It's about letting people be people. It's about not investing your moral compass into their antics. It's about letting just life go on by you and you just live your best life because there's I think it's a song, Live and Let Live, and that couldn't be truer. You know, just if that's what they want to do, don't try to break it up. Just let them do what they do. And that's one thing I'm doing today. You know, the reason why I'm stressed out like hell, but you know what? My life is beautiful. I think that my purpose and my mission in life is being fulfilled. I think that, you know, the 20 years of sacrifice was for a reason, and I think that it was supposed to be like this. I think that it gave me a lot more purposeful life than it was back before I was incarcerated. It allowed me to be there's a couple things. One of my friends told me I got a construction job and they wanted to, you know, the message was maybe I need to learn suffering, physical suffering, because construction is a lot of work. And I didn't understand it until she said that. And then you know, I sit there and I think about a prison. You know, in prison, it's very racially motivated. It's divided. But the thing is we come together, and we have a brotherhood that is like no other. We have a thing with people that when we have a solid relationship, we cherish that relationship, and we do all we can for that person. If it's my last suit, brother, you have it. If it's if I got a clean white T-shirt for your visit, you got it. You know, and I think these are things that, you know, I've been reprogrammed because before I was incarcerated, I was lost. I was in the world. I was very violent. I was very just stupid and very selfish. And, you know, prison really taught me how to be for other people, for complete strangers, for different races. There's nothing I would never do for anybody in prison. That was just, if I had it, you had it. That was my saying in there. And, you know, one of the things that, like my wife taught me was, you know, you don't deny people food. You know, when I see people are hungry, you know, I feed them. That's just, I don't care who you are. I don't care if I don't like you, I'm going to feed you. And so, and I think that when we sit back and we watch life go on, and it's we're a little bit more insightful on ourselves, and you know, you could play the movie in your head of how I would have reacted and how I would have done this, but you know, at the end of the day, I sit back and I look at the world and I go, I don't want to be part of this. And that's why I do what I do. That's why I do this stuff, because I'd rather, you know, pay attention to what you're investing your time in, and your heart and your actions. You know, if you're going home, it's like, for instance, if you're working and going home, you're investing in your family. You're investing in your property. You're investing into your community. You know, that's what you do by being productive. If you're sitting there, you know, running around, running amok and, you know, making heartaches for people, that's what you're investing in. You know, so when the brother sits there and says, stand back, pay attention, don't get involved. A lot of times it's just people watching. It's watching the world around you and keeping yourself safe. And not just physically, but emotionally, but spiritually, because our spiritualness is being taken from us. It's being lost in video games, on TV. It's being lost in technology. I see people reading the Bible from a phone. And though, hey, that's fine, but you're changing the world by your actions. And everyone's guilty of this. I'm guilty of this at times. So, you know, I just say that when we sit back and we pay attention to the world, because it's crumbling, this is failing. We're at our last days. And, you know, just pay attention to what's around you, who's around you, and what you're investing your time into in your actions. And then because, you know, it's funny when you sit there and say watching. Well, when you sit there and you ever plant a garden, and every day you go out and you get to see, you know, we grow onions and potatoes and stuff like that in our garden. And it's amazing how if you just sit there and watch it day by day, and then by the end of the month, there's a big-ass sunflower. Like, for we grow sunflowers. And you just grow it, and you just watch it day by day. By the end of the month, you're like, where the hell did this just come from? And that's we sit there and we just watch our garden grow, and we'd invest in it. We'd water it. We would make sure that, you know, it was covered up so it didn't get frostbitten. We would make sure that, you know, we'd go out and get the weeds. And life is kind of like that. If you look at your life where it's kind of like a garden, it might be a little. You might have a little bit more insight on stuff. We just have to slow down. I have to slow down, dude. I am so compulsive. And I will just, if it sounds like a good idea, I'm there. I'm a male. And so, you know, that's what we do. We run in fires. And so, but sometimes I got to take my own advice and other people's advice. And what the brother said was take a step back and pay attention was something I needed to hear today. So I hope that everybody got to hear that and that they take it to heart. And really, introspect is something that I'm a big supporter of. You know, we had 23 hours in our cells at times. We were locked down 8 months out of the year. I was in Salinas Valley, and somebody died at least every 2 weeks, every week. So we were always locked down from that while they do their investigation. But the thing is that introspect is what really saved my life and gave me my purpose and my mission, because I got to – it wasn't so much looking at other people. You know, when you're in a cell with just you and your bunkie – you pay attention to make sure that you're courteous to him, that you're mindful of and aware of what's the movement and what's going on, so you're not in his way and he's not in your way because of the size of a closet. But you really do think on that rack when you go to sleep, who am I? What is my purpose? And you feel this wasting away feeling that your life means absolutely nothing. And so you find, you know, regardless of who you find, there's always, you find your spirituality, you find your purpose in those tough times. And so, people, there's some tough times coming up right now, so find yourself. Leave people places to things better than you find them. I always have the saying, if I see a piece of trash, I pick it up. And I feel that that's my contribution. That's something, at least what I could do. And it goes back to this story. There's this guy walking down the beach with his son, and his son is grabbing all the starfishes off the off the beach and throwing them back in the water. And he's going, there's millions of these things, millions. And he sits there and this little kid's throwing as many as he can. And the stranger walks by and goes, you're not going to save them all. What are you doing? You're just wasting your time. And he goes, but I'm saving these. So, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think
can
that
I
when
expand
we,
on him?
Huh?
This is Blue Jay. I'd like to expand on that.
Oh, go ahead, Blue Jay. How you doing?
Pretty good. I've taken a few notes. I really enjoyed hearing from the speakers. As far as the one speaker, I want to thank you for the old cliche from the Indians saying that you're not to judge someone else before you walk in their shoes. I've lived by that. Now I'll continue. The devil comes to steal and destroy and kill. Jesus came so that we would have life more abundantly. That's something we need to remember. We live in a throwaway world, and unfortunately, society has opted in on disposing not only convenience items, but also family members, marriages, and that let's not leave out common sense. Feelings have replaced fact, and we are now experiencing a famine of not only nutritious and safe food, but a famine of the Word of God and love for our neighbors. Morality has been affected by individual rights, and the institutions of man's corruption perpetuates this. We see this in all aspects of life. I was in a college class as an elderly adult, and in discussion, I brought up the golden rule. Not one person in my class knew what the golden rule was. I was astonished. Around 1975, when I was in high school, it was predicted that computer technology would create an immense mental health crisis as we became merely a number. And I believe you will totally understand that because you were given a number to replace your name. Government institutions have negated the need for mental health services, yet they suggest extra funding when there's a void in resources for those in need. That's a big problem. As a Christian, I constantly remind myself that I'm not of this world. As soon as I became a new creature, when I accepted the Lord into my life, we're not of this world. We're merely in this world. And I struggle in this world to overcome the flesh, as many do. And knowing this gives me insight into the mindset of the lost and suffering souls around me. And I'll finish with, as for me, I choose to live in Christ, not by my flesh.
Thank you, sister. That was very nice.
Thank you. We have about 10 minutes left, and I just want to thank everybody for joining and for just the insight, you know, listening to other people. Like the brother was saying earlier, you know, we talk too much. And, you know, I'm guilty of that a lot of times because a lot of times I want to be heard and I don't want to listen. But if you sit there and so anyone that's listening to this, I just want you to practice this. Go outside and just pay attention to your five senses. You know, listen, hear, feel, touch, taste. And just, this isn't something that you have to do, but just a suggestion. This is what I do a lot of times. But listen to the birds. Listen to the air, the wind through the trees. Listen to... We have these little bugs we call them stump fuckers, and they make this unique sound, and they're awesome, but they're annoying, and just go out and really take a moment for yourself and to listen, and I'm going to do the same as well. I'm going to a Christmas party at my job, so I definitely will be listening and not talking because half the stuff that they're going to be talking about is crap. You know, gossip and rumors and so I have no idea why I'm making myself part of this. I'm still debating on if I'm going to go, but you know, it's getting to know the people around you and investing. You know, let's see if I could leave that place a little better than I find it. And so I would like, we have 9 minutes. I'd like the brother to close us out in a song, of course. And also if Blue Jay would, if you guys don't mind, also close us out in a prayer. And then that's how we'll end the show today. Is that cool?
That's cool with me. Blue Jay, go ahead and close it out with the prayer, and I'll end it with the song. Go right ahead.
How about I close this out in a prayer then? Blue Jay, you there?
Let's do it.
All right. You know, we all just come here humbly. We all come here together. When you say two or more come together, you are present. And we just ask you to just watch over us, that you sit here and you just give us our moral compass back, and that you keep us strong in this corrupted system, in this corrupted world that we're trying to find our ways, and you guide us and you give us that direction that we need to go. And you continue to send people our way to throw rocks at us to keep us on our path, and that you just fulfill our purpose and that we fulfill a destiny, and that we just sit here and we just ask for guidance. And we ask that, you know, in those times of need that we ask for help, but also in those times of joy that we rejoice and we give thanks. And I just want to thank everything and everybody I have in my life, that no matter how the world is going, I'm just grateful for the people and the things that I get to see and that I get to invest in. And I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, Lawrence. And that was a good prayer. And we'll close it off with this song from out here in the Dakotas. And thank you again for allowing me to come on. And here's our closing song.
That song was made for my baby son, No Ears, who turned 6 years old on September of this year. September 21st was his birthday. I made that song for my baby boy, and I sing that in honor of all of you. And you have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you all on our show called the Indigenous Voices of People every Friday and Saturday at 657-383-1630. And I look forward to you coming on, little brother Lawrence. Enjoy your evening and much love to you and your family. Be well, and to your little brother too. Love y'all from South Dakota. Aho!
Aho, brother. Thank you. So with that, I just want to say I love y'all, and thank you. You know, every Sunday I dread coming on, but it's very healing at the end. And I'm very excited to be able to use my energy into things like this that are productive and that offer some insight to other people. And, yeah, just – so today, just, you know, leave people places, things better than you find them. And as be the hands and feet of Jesus, as my friend Dottie always tells me. So we're going to be all right. We're going to be – just fine. I just need everybody to stay strong, stay faithful, and be determined to succeed. Don't let the negativity, don't let the devil get you. It's temporary. This too shall pass. And, you know, be that kid. Throw that starfish back in the ocean. All right, y'all. I love y'all. Tommy, Blue, Rachel, thank you so much. Appreciate y'all. I see you're on right now. And if any of you guys want to check out what we do, legacyprograms.net. If you need a mentor, if you need somebody to talk to, we will set a time to talk. We are not just for the incarcerated. We are for the family members and for the community to heal, to bring awareness, and to educate each other through personal experiences. And it's all by people that trudged the path before us. So just stay strong. And like I said, legacyprograms.net. If you go on Facebook, you can find me down as Sparky Lee from Georgia. Also, Legacy Programs, the Facebook group, and Our Legacy, Each One Teach One. And I will see you guys the same time next week. Love y'all. Stay blessed. And bye.